Brasscast, a podcast series exploring the spoken history of the Illinois Brass Band. I'm your host, Rob Barnes, IBB historian. In episode 2, I interview IBB's first conductor, Dr. Bruce Briney. Bruce was on the podium for IBB's first concert and prepared the band for their first trip to Napa. Listen as Bruce describes the band's humble beginnings, and we also talk about Bruce's return to the band as a player, conductor, and soloist.
All right, welcome, Bruce. Thanks for joining us here today to give us your insight into your experiences with the Illinois Brass Band. First, just give us some of your musical background and how you became to be the musician you are today.
Sure. I grew up in suburban Chicago, in Joliet specifically. I attended the University of Illinois, and I started off as a music ed major and transferred into performance after the first year. And I had a great time at Illinois, and then I ended up at Northwestern for my master's degree and was a student of Vince Chickowitz's. I stayed in Chicago and I freelanced and got a part-time job at Roosevelt University teaching trumpet and leading a faculty brass quintet, which was really exciting. And then I ended up going back and getting a doctorate at Northwestern. And then I took a job at Western Illinois University. But before that, I got a call from a couple of guys, George Foreman and the judge.
And Judge Bill, George Foster and the Judge Bill Homer, right. So how did they find you?
I think it was a reference from John Painter. I was okay. a conducting student of Painter's, sure. And a brass player, and I led a group, a professional group at Northwestern called the Millar Brass Ensemble.
Sure.
And I think Painter was a very, very supportive teacher of mine. And so he recommended me, and those guys came to a concert and listened to the group and watched me conduct, sure. And enjoyed it and invited me to come and be and to lead the new band, which was interesting for me because I had no experience specifically with brass bands.
Right. That was going to be okay. So no experience at all. Did you look at any recordings? Did you?
Well, George was really fantastic about giving me recordings. I mean,
he still is.
Yeah. Constantly sharing recordings with me. And copies to cassettes. And I moved out of my office at the university because I'm retired now. And I had tons of recordings of brass bands, all from George. That's so nice. He was a wonderful asset, you know, in terms of my education with brass banding. And I think it was the first English brass band, I think, in the Chicago area. Outside of the staff band.
Yeah, the Salvation Army, right. And a lot of the Citadels have their own bands as well, right. Yeah, that's fabulous. Were you involved in recruiting of any early members of IBB? Did they tap your network at all?
Yeah, I had, I have some friends who came in and played. Soprano was, you know, a difficult chair to fill.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a good friend who was ultimately a member of the Lyric Opera Orchestra, Channing Tilbrick. He ended up playing soprano for a couple of concerts. And I had some friends and acquaintances from the North Shore Concert Band, which is a group that I played in.
Sure.
84 to what? 88, I think, something like that. Okay. And so I had some folks that came over and joined the membership.
Nice. It's always good to tap that network. I mean, that's how my wife and I got in. Colin.
Yeah.
Colin tapped us. We were playing in his concert band, and he brought us in. And so, all right. So you knew Colin from that because he obviously played in NABBA 93. Was he in? How early was he in?
I want to say he was there for a year. I mean, when I went to the competition, Colin was playing third cornet, and I believe George, I think George connected with Colin. Colin had a lot of experience in
Oh,
English
sure. Growing
banding,
up over there, right?
and he was a conducting student from the University of Kansas, I believe.
Yes.
And he came in and he said, "You know, I haven't played very much in a while, and I just want to sit at the bottom of the section." And I was okay, you know. And so, you know, from that first year when I went to the ABBA competition, Colin was in the group, and you know, he was, I guess he was getting ready to lead
Turned out
the
to be your successor. There you go.
yeah.
All right. So what I've heard stories, you know, about rehearsals at Boozy Hawks, since Boozy Hawks helped George get the band started. Was there really beer in the pot machine in there?
There really was this beer in the pop machine, and people avoided it for a while, and then they ended up tapping into that. So, but you know, I think we had some kind of house rule, like please wait until after intermission, you know. So
Yeah, right. If you have a beer at intermission, it doesn't take a while for it to kick in.
the second half is always much better than
There you go. Everybody's a little
the
more
first half.
loose, right?
But
That's
it was a
fabulous.
warehouse, yeah, and Boozy offered us a package, you know, of brass band instruments, and some of them were necessary, of course, for, you know, to complete the traditional instrumentation, the alto horns,
Tenor
flute,
horns, English baritones, right.
yeah. So we use them. There's some people didn't like them, some people like them, and but it was kind of our foot in the door. Now I'm assuming that the IBB has their own instruments now.
We've actually gone through, let's see, so I've been treasurer for, I've been in the band for 30 plus years. I've been treasurer for probably like 20 of those. Wrote a bunch of checks. We had the original cornets, which we sold, and John Melling, former president of the band who passed away about 6, 7 years ago, actually helped us fund a new set of cornets that we are currently playing now. I can't remember who they are. Yeah, but we ended up selling the original set of Boozies to Motor City Brass Band in Detroit and buying
Okay.
these. I wish I knew the name of them. Yeah. And then
Bethan,
George has
maybe?
been, you know, George was the you were one of the U.S. distributors for K&H, Quinlan Heuning, a German
Okay.
company. And he got us a whole bunch of different horns there. He got us, we actually owned a bass trombone for a while. He got us a flugelhorn, and as well as that. And we actually bought four tubas, two matching E flats and two matching B flats, which weren't part of the original purchase. So we've evolved. And then we've actually, a lot of the membership have bought their own horns as well to kind of take it from this level up to here to get a better quality instrument. So I would say overall our quality of horns has definitely improved over the years.
So that was the difficult thing in the early days, is just, you know, finding people to play alto horn, you know.
Yeah.
And
What's that?
exactly, what is that? Yeah, so
Right. Yeah.
it took some time to, you know, educate the membership and find people that are interested in taking a gamble and learning something new.
That's fun. Yeah, it's always fun to learn something new, right?
Oh yeah, it was a good time. So I learned the literature, you know, with George's help and through a lot of listening. A lot of recording.
Listening is. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the first official concert, Kenio Gardens. Thank you for the audio of that. I've got it digitized and put up. What do you remember from like the first couple of gigs and just getting your feet wet as with the group?
Well, I remember it was fun, it was enjoyable. You know, we were looking for a certain membership. I was looking at the picture again today, and I think I saw some people in there that I remember. I
Nice.
think Channing was playing soprano. Janis Dobrik, and I think I saw Debbie Katz in the percussion
She
section.
has played with us over the years.
And
It's really funny. That's who that is. Okay, because we're trying to figure that out. Because yeah, okay.
she lives in Lake Forest now, I think. Let's see. Mike Harloff,
Hi, Karloff.
cornetist that I knew
He still
from.
comes to concerts once a year. We still see him.
Yeah, I knew him from the North Shore Concert Band because we sat
Nice.
next to each other, and he was a really good player from the Navy Band, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, that's right. He was Navy. Right.
And I know some of the other some of the other people are familiar to me.
Jeff Slepak and the Troy. Is he an original man? Mick Garrison in the cornet
Mick,
section
yeah,
is a
I knew
founding
Mick
member.
from North Shore Concert Band, and
That's
Jeff
right. Mick was in
Slepak
North
as
Shore for
well.
years. Right.
Yeah. So a lot of friends through community band circles and teachers as well, teachers in public school systems.
Sure.
But it was a
Nice.
good time. I don't remember too much about the concert, but I
Okay.
remember taking introducing the instruments of the English Brass Band and maybe people doing a little playing a little example on their instruments.
Sure.
Of course,
Nice.
that was
Hey.
always difficult. It's like, I just want you to play a little something on your instrument. What do you want? What do you
What do you mean?
want me
You're putting me on the spot.
play? Yes. But I thought it was a good time. We did a lot of outdoor concerts,
Yeah, that's where that. Yeah, any other out gigs you remember? Outdoor holiday, Green ABBA. Yeah.
I remember like an indoor series, I think, that we started, and then also Park District programs,
Okay.
essentially
Yeah.
in the summer. Maybe you
We're
guys
still
stayed with
doing
some of
that. We
those.
live by
Yeah.
that.
You put together a repertoire that you can rehearse and put together quickly on short notice and concertize with that. Yeah. And it contains some standard things and some popular pieces of music as well.
It's a good business model because we're still doing the same thing. Well, and the biggest thing, you obviously talked with Bill a lot over the years and stuff. And the biggest thing he's found out as booking manager is a lot of these park districts, as time goes on, the people that were booking these gigs retire and young people come in and fill these roles. And they're like, what in the world's a brass band? I want a rock and roll. I want a cover band. That's what,
Yes.
and it's so that's kind of like what we've been running through the last couple few years.
Education, right?
Exactly, comes back to education. And there is every fall there is a Park District Festival up in somewhere in the northwest side that Bill goes to and brings out CDs and basically, like you say, is educating the public and trying to educate the potential customer out there. Yeah, he works hard. He sends out a lot of letters and CDs and links to things and links to our concerts where we're trying to get our YouTube page populated more and things. So,
How many brass bands are in the Chicago area now?
okay, so we're the first one. And in 1997, my daughter was a newborn. This guy named Roger Menning came over and just started following us around. He goes, "I want to start another band like that." He came over and interviewed me, like with about the finances of it, about everything. And he started Prairie Brass Band out of Arlington Heights. They've been around since 97, 98-ish. They've done the competition thing. They've done their own. They started this thing called the US Open, which is an entertainment contest, because a lot of the contests in Britain are entertainment, not necessarily a test piece. We did it a couple times, never had any luck with it, never could get things going. But they did that for about 20 so years and finally sold it off. It's now done. I think the band out of Kansas City hosts it, and it's been down there for the last couple of years. So that was about 98. Colin left us in 2001. And then, like a year and a half later, he and Roger Menning left Prairie and formed Chicago. And Chicago Brass Band has always marketed themselves as like basically a pure competition band. I think it's always what Colin always wanted to be. He always wanted to compete, compete, compete. This try to be as good as up here. They've traveled internationally. We've traveled internationally as well, but they've set themselves up here, and we've always set ourselves as, we always want to play more because with the horns on your face, you're only going to get better.
Right.
And it makes us a lot of money. We just finished a really, really profitable and a series of holiday concerts. We played fabulous. We had three of them, had really nice crowds. So, and that's the business we've taken. Compete the once a year, do the summer stuff, and do our holiday. We basically have three seasons now, right? NABBA in the spring, summer in the summer, and then holiday slash fall. We try to do something in fall, like when you played with us in Rockford this fall, one or so in the fall, and then we go do our holiday seasons where we make a lot of money so we can live and afford to pay Steve and pay all the bills during the wintertime. We're not making stuff. So.
Well,
What do you think?
when the concept came up, George said, "You know, we should really be doing the competition, Bruce." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know about competitions." And I was not somebody who was all into the competition, although that is kind of the basis in many respects for the history of the brass band. So I was hesitant. I finally agreed, and we went and we did it. And I think it was an important first step, you know.
Sure.
And
What do you remember about prepping the band for and
well, you know, it's not uncommon to invite people in to critique the band or, you know, conduct the band in preparation for competition. And I believe we had some people come in and do that. Michael Mulcahy, I think, came in and helped with that, if I remember correctly. He has some a little history with the band, you know. I think he conducted a concert, but maybe this was after my departure.
He did. It was like 93, 94-ish. He was back after
Yes.
my wife and I had joined the band. He was back and did a gig with us then. Yes.
Yeah. So, that's what I remember. I remember that I included a Himes piece, Appalachian.
Appalachian Mountain Folk Suite.
Yep. And some people are like, well, this is really not appropriate for
You got to start somewhere.
but you know, we were a young group, and you know, I don't remember what the test piece was.
What's the other piece you guys did? I could look it up, man. Yeah.
But you know, it was all new to the players, and so we, you know, we gave it a shot and tried to do the best preparation we could,
That's.
and traveled out. And I was not surprised at the outcome at all. So the stage was set though for the next year, and I think I played in the solo cornet section that season.
Most certainly did in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yes, at
So
Raleigh,
that was fun.
North Carolina State. Yep. Jim
That was
Kerno
good
was
time.
there. It's funny because I went to Illinois as well, and Kerno was there. I mean, Kerno probably got there right as you were leaving. And so Jim
Oh.
Kerno was there. I got really close to them, and when we're riding up an elevator, we go, and we know he's judging. He goes, "You can't tell me anything you're playing." So we saw him afterwards. We played your piece. So, because that's right, Laude, his piece was the test piece. That's what it was. Yeah, his piece was the
That's
test
right.
piece of that section. Yeah.
So, you know, it was a growth, a learning experience, and I'm glad that we did it. And
Right. Well, think about it, right? You got to start somewhere, right?
yep.
Go up, we go up, go up, go up, go up. I mean, we are here at the peak with Colin, and then we kind of fell down, and we're always just trying to get back there. And people are going like, and George, every time I talk with George is like, "Oh, how come the band's not winning?" I said, "George, we can't control what the other bands are doing, right? Because what we did, when you were part of it, taking a bar, we put the bar up to here. And other bands took the bar and put it way up here. I mean, they put the bar and just completely put it so high, and it's now some of the pieces that they play, the test pieces now are just crazy hard. I mean, And it's good for the activity. It's good for musicianship. It's good for, the weekend warriors, the guys like us who just want to play. Yeah.
You know, when I started the band, there was quite a range of players. You know, there were some solo players that were really phenomenal. Guy Clark, you know,
Guy, right.
really phenomenal player. And then there was the average player, the average amateur player. So,
Sure.
as the test pieces accelerated and got more and more difficult, it's maybe harder to do some of that stuff with the average player. So, well, I think you had a question on the list about, what do I think about the band now? I
Yeah.
mean, there's a lot of depth in the band now. And a lot of really fine players across the board, beyond the solo spots. So that's great.
Thanks,
The
thanks.
sound of the band has, grown into really beautiful English brass band quality. That's something that was difficult to teach, in the first couple of years. Because
Yeah,
people just, they would have a cornet, but they would play it like a trumpet,
I like and just try to get brassy, right? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So that phenomenon has really resolved itself very nicely. Band plays with a really beautiful sound. I
Thank
took
you. It's
a phone recording of something that you guys were doing, a lyrical piece in the last set. It was really gorgeous.
thanks, thanks. It's I really think the sound is just so unique, so hard to duplicate, so hard to it just I think the brass band sound is just obviously, I mean, it's been in forever. It's just an incredible sound. It's just so wonderful to play in. Yeah.
So you started playing in 94?
Right after you left,
Okay.
Colin brought us in. My wife and me were playing in Fox Valley Concert Band. I live in Geneva. We literally rehearsed like right across the street over here, high school. He goes, it was Christmas in '93. He goes, oh, I need a trombone and a percussionist for a Christmas gig. I said, do it. Came in and read it, had a blast. We like this group much better. Might have been stay here. Go, yeah, that's fine. Sound fine. So we left that group and like the rest is history. And so I've been in it nonstop since then. My wife's taking breaks and this when our daughter was younger and she's
Well,
yeah,
you're
so
a senior member now of the group, maybe.
Jim, you don't remember Jim Sabaki? He
Oh, yeah.
joined like probably right before you left, like April of '93, and then I'm
Yeah.
December of '93. So
Okay.
he and I are fighting it out. Never it's gonna
All
last longest.
right.
Whoever drops first.
Well, gosh, I really appreciate all your hard work there.
Well, it's been great. It's been wonderful having you back. Now you came back for both of our anniversary big concerts, right? Tell us about what you remember from those. The 15th and then the
I want to
25th.
say I
Missed
was there.
30th because of COVID.
Was it 25, maybe?
25 was the big one in the church where you had all the conductors back. Yeah.
Oh, that was great fun, And you guys have had some really super leaders. And Steve's, he's a wonderful conductor and great musician. So, and he and I go back a long ways too. So,
Yeah. No, you guys. It seems like you're Millar. He's done Millar. So tell me more
yeah.
about your how you keep running into Steve.
I don't know,
Well,
but we do.
small world. I know it's a
Yeah.
small world.
Well, teaching at Western and Steve teaching in Northern, we had some contact that way. And then, when I left Millar, Vince Chickowitz took over and conducted Millar for a few years. And then he passed on and they were looking for a conductor. And Steve was an obvious choice because he was, a really fine musician and an excellent leader. The other conductors you've had have been really terrific, of course.
Sure.
Colin,
Peter Lipari.
Peter Lipari, who I kind of know indirectly as orchestra
Another
player.
U of I guy. He's
Yeah.
about our age. Yeah, he went to he does
Exactly.
undergrad at
Yeah.
Illinois.
Yeah, he was at Illinois when I was at Illinois. And then Ryan, I've just only met him once at the reunion. But you've had some really fine conductors.
We've
So
been
that's
fortunate, been going through the searches and things and
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing with Steve is, I mean, Steve was basically our primary sub. He's back in 2001, Colin's wife is about ready to have their second baby, and the baby is literally due. And Steve actually conducted us when we played a concert at ILMEA in
Yeah.
January of, I think, 01 it was. And he did a bunch of summer gigs, and he was coming in and clinicianing us before NABBA, and it was a natural.
Right.
And it was a natural. And he's been here since 2008.
That's a long run.
It's a long run.
Yeah.
And it, if you stop to think about it, it's like, it seems like yesterday, but it's like, wow, it has been a long time.
Yeah.
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 Well, the celebrations were fun. You know, when you start a group, you never know if it's going to go for a year or 30 years, right?
Sure.
So I was, I think I was there for 2 years. Is
That's about
that
right. Yeah, 91 to 93, two
Yeah,
plus, 'cause you
2 years,
left
yeah.
in fall of 93, right? So yeah, 2.5, right.
Yeah, and it's difficult to start anything. And of course it's hard to maintain things and keep it growing, but the band has done extremely well. So
Well, we owe a lot of it to you,
I feel
starting
honored
us
to
off.
be a small part of it.
Well, and you're coming back and helping us and subbing and souling with us last fall, which was just absolutely wonderful. You sounded great. We had
Thank you.
we've had wonderful responses to that concert, so your input is always welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. So it's great to see you. I hope there's another 30 years in front of you all.
You know what? Knock on everything. 30 years, I'm going to be old. I don't think I'll still be playing. It's all good. It's been fun. Well, thank you again for your time. It's wonderful. We'll be in touch because we're looking at another next year is going to be 35 years.
Oh,
If
yeah. Okay. Sure.
91,
Okay.
2016. So we'll be in touch. If not before then, we'll be in touch. We'll do something for 35th since we missed 30 because of COVID. So
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, we missed 30 because of COVID. So. So
Well, nice
thank
to
you.
chat. Okay.
Thank you for all you've done for IBB. Thanks for everything.
Thanks. Take care.
You too.